It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Am I tempted to start with the Penguins today? And I guess merely by saying that I have started with the Penguins today. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. I'm like everybody else in this town. They're on the afterburner. They're sort of an afterthought. I'm not thinking much about them, especially on a week where we have Steelers-Ravens, but they keep nudging themselves into the headlines by doing things like, oh, I don't know, giving up six goals in the first period. Are you kidding me, Limits? Did you watch this debacle?
Well, it seemed like as soon as I turned in, it was already over by the time it was starting in the first couple of minutes. So it became a game that was unwatchable after the first period, Joe. I mean, in all sincerity.
I just can't do it. I happened to hear Phil Bork during the broadcast. This is a proud franchise. I can't remember the last time they were down 5-0 in the first period on home ice. Well, that turned into 6. And I don't know, I think Bob Grove tweeted something later, I know not what, but after Sid got an angry elbowing penalty, this was Borky. And I quote, I wish it was somebody else doing it. I know you're thinking it. I'm saying it. Such is the state of the Penguins. I saw yesterday in The Athletic that they have the third biggest attendance drop in all of hockey. So I'm just going to say this for now. They've accidentally hit rock bottom. Earlier than intended, why not stay? Why not approach some of these stars and ask if they want to leave? Sid, a separate case, obviously. Why not try to trade the lesser names but still effective players like Marcus Pettersson, Ricard Raquel, anybody else? Beg somebody. Tell them you'll give them $1 billion if they'll take Tristan Jarry. Something like that. You have to make a decision on the coach. I don't even know who's making the decisions. Is it Kyle Dupas or is it Dean Werner there at the top? I don't even know who makes the decision on the coach. But man, I'd be awfully tempted. Now that you have arrived at bottom, you hit the iceberg maybe 2 years early. Why not just stay? Why not just stay there? That's how your franchise won all their Stanley Cups after all. Was by hitting bottom. Why not just stay? Make moves to ensure that you get a good draft pick. Things like that. Many good draft picks. Maybe Sully would be a better coach with young guys than he is with this team. This team doesn't listen to him. They don't play the kind of hockey he wants on any consistent basis. And now I've gone too long. I'm going to pass on the Penguins. Like the 600 people per game that no longer attend the games. And that's just the announced crowds, right?
It looked pretty empty, especially in the first period. It looked empty. A buddy of mine took a picture of it and sent it in our group chat, and it looked like the arena was half full, maybe half full.
By the end of the first period, yes. There might have been, what, 4 people there?
I don't blame them. I mean, this is just, we knew the fall from grace was coming. We didn't know how hard it was going to be. They are hitting rock bottom, and it is rapid.
Yeah, and that might be a blessing in disguise. All right, table the Penguin talk. Let's see if they nudge themselves into a headline by doing something else hideous in the next couple days. The funny thing is, they actually have a very winnable week coming up, and they're not that far out of playoff position. So a week from now, we could be talking about the playoff-bound Penguins, but I don't think so.
Columbus.
I don't think so. You know, the whole idea was that having the stars, and I'm still talking about the Penguins, having the stars stick around, I was talking to Crowley about this, you at least stay competitive and keep people in the building. Whoops. Seems like 0-2 on that front, right? Can we move on, please?
Yes,
I'm not even in
please.
I'm not even in a six-pack, but I want you to crack one.
I already cracked one. Here's two. Thank you, Limits. That's what you need watching the Penguins right now, apparently.
I appreciate that. Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have the Mike Tomlin news conference today, and then the great, the one and only Brian Batko joining me after that to interpret all that was said. Our six-pack brought to you by Bet365. All right, forget all that. It's Penguins. They're on my mind. This is unbelievable. What have they done to me with that game last night?
Your Indiana Fever jacket again.
You like that?
Did you see Caitlin Clark hanging out with Tyrese Haliburton at the game?
Yes, I did. And did you see that Pittsburgh is making maybe more of a push for a WNBA team?
No.
I'm all about it.
Fill me in briefly.
The Pittsburgh Limits, I would call them. Yeah.
The Limitless Wonders. Would you like that one? The Wonder Twins?
The Wonder Twins.
How about this? I got a text last night from our athletic director at Baldwin. Why do they call you Limits?
I like that a lot.
I've received that text. You don't even want to know how many times in the last couple of months.
Well, it would take an explanation, I guess, of more than just a word or two, wouldn't it? You'd have to tell the story. I don't know. There was some quotes in the paper yesterday that they're making more of a push. That's all. We need to move on. We need to move on to Steelers.
What about the NBA? Well, the NBA.
No, that's never happening. Don't even think about that.
That makes me sad.
This is the best rivalry in Pittsburgh sports. It's not what it used to be, but man, it's getting back up there. I'll say that. It's getting back up there when both teams are good. And that's the case right now. This is as anticipated a Steeler-Raven game as I can remember. It seems like one or the other has been good in most years. Maybe there's a game or two I'm missing. You have to kind of go back maybe to the Immaculate Extension, the Antonio Brown catch at the goal line. Remember that one?
Lamar overthrowing
Limitless Wonder.
Mark Andrews.
Yeah,
on
that was one too.
The 2-point play.
Although I think Andrews should have caught that ball, but that's beside the point. It can never be what it was, but who cares? Some things just aren't. You know what I mean? It can never be, putting out a bounty on Hines and Bettis and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Ben, and it's just not going to be like that again. But this is pretty damn good, what we have this week. I'll say that much. And would you agree that it's the best rivalry in Pittsburgh sports right now?
Right now, yes. I mean, when Cincinnati was humming in the last couple of years, I mean, I remember just the days of Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones.
That was good, yeah.
Those rivalries, I think it's somewhat exceeded the Ravens because it was just so tension-fueled.
At the time,
and
you mean exceeded the Ravens.
The time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But now it's the model of consistency with the Ravens and the Steelers, and this rivalry is always relevant. And the thing that I like about this rivalry, which is a little bit off the beaten path, is that there's so much respect in this rivalry. Like, I feel like the Steelers, you hate Cincinnati. You hate Cleveland. You respect Baltimore.
Hold on a second, Limits. You may have just come up with a topic. You're listening out there. You're Steeler fans. Do you agree with that? He's basically saying there's not a hatred for the Ravens. It's more of a respect thing.
Well,
maybe from the fan base.
There could be some both.
Okay.
But I think there's a lot of respect there.
More respect for them than others. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Compared to the division. Like, I think about when Ryan Shazier was hurt in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And immediately, Baltimore holds like a moment of silence for him in like the next week. Just because. Like, I think Baltimore, as much as you can hate them, I think they're a classy organization in your division. And I think they think the same of the Steelers.
Limits have spoken. Your reaction to that. How do you view the Ravens? Is it just pure, unadulterated sports hatred? You know, not actual life hatred. Is my microphone hot here? Is it too hot? Is it buzzing in your ear, or is that just me in my ear?
It sounds good.
Thank you, Limits.
You're quite welcome.
Do you agree with Limits at 412-928-9370 about that? I'd be very curious to hear from people. That is a hot take. That thing is smoking hot right now.
I'll put it out there on social media as well.
I don't even want to go. How are you going to phrase it, though? That's the question. Is it more respect than sports hatred for the Ravens?
Well, I know
because I've always sensed that the Ravens are reviled in this town first. However, on your topic, to your point, as they say, I think Harbaugh and Tomlin have a ton of respect for each other. I've seen them in off-season settings. I was watching it was an event in Baltimore. This was probably a number of years ago where Tomlin showed up with Harbaugh and they were up on stage sort of good-naturedly ribbing each other, I think taking some questions. It was really good. And, without rivals, where are we in sports? I think there has to be respect when you look back on Steelers Raiders or Steelers Cowboys from those great Super Bowls or Steelers Ravens in its previous iteration or Penguins Flyers. Yeah, it's pure hatred on one hand, but you also are glad they exist because that's what makes sports, right? And I think after Steelers Ravens, where are we with our rivalries in this town? It feels like the Penguins and Pirates don't have any really cooking right now. Yeah, there's Ovechkin and Sid, but is that what it used to be? No, because neither team is a Stanley Cup contender. The Capitals aren't. They're off to a nice start. But you know what I mean, is it's hard to have a real rivalry, certainly one at the height of its powers, if neither team is that good. Sometimes even if just one of them stinks, but at least you can still have that. The Pirates, who was their last rival? The Cardinals? Back in 13, 14, 15, that was pretty good. The Cardinals and the Reds, right? Who is it now? It's nobody. They don't have one. They need to get good again before they have one. Pitt's lost in the ACC now. I guess West Virginia Pitt would be my second biggest rivalry in town right now, I guess. And then who? Limits. Do you agree with that? Penguins, Flyers, I don't even think about.
Pens, Caps.
Eh.
It was really good in 16, 17, 18. That's because whoever won that series went on to win the cup.
Back when you were 8 years old.
Correct.
Yes. I'm saying right now.
Now, I'm not saying that Steelers, Ravens, there's not a lot of hate there. There is. But
Now you're backing off your position.
No, you are. I still think there's a huge amount of respect there because I don't think there's respect with Cleveland, and I don't think there's respect with Cincinnati, and I think there is with Baltimore. That's what I think.
All right.
You can still hate the Ravens, but you can respect them at the same time because I don't think that many Steeler fans at all respect Cincinnati and Cleveland.
Do you agree with Limits there? This guy's gone wild. We should put out a video. Limits gone wild. 412-928.
I've been very strong on this take for a couple of years now.
93-70. Well, I want to refine that take a little bit. I mean,
go right ahead.
Which one do you lean more toward yourself as a Steeler fan? Respect or hatred for the Ravens?
Mostly hatred, but not as much hatred towards the other two franchises.
Then there goes your take, Limits. What is happening here? You started out by saying there's more respect here than hatred.
Compared to the other two AFC North divisional teams. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Those are the ones you see the most often.
Yeah.
But you said
the reason you like this rivalry the best is because of the mutual respect. For me, let me think about this for a second without having dead silence on the radio. So the greatest rivalry for the Bills growing up was the Dolphins. I hated their guts. And it's only in retrospect that I respect the fact that they were there and appreciate it. No, I disagree with you. I hate my rivals. I like the fact that I hate them. Don't get me wrong. They're what makes sports great. But it's hard. It's hard to, I don't know. And then what do you mean by respect? I do respect the Ravens, but I'm not a fan. You know, what I would really respect is fans who just purely revile their fiercest rivals. That's what I think. That's what you feel as a fan. I'm trying to crawl back into my fan skin from many years ago. And all I held for the Miami Dolphins was sports hatred.
Very animosity. Very conflicted text line.
Let's hear some.
Half the texters agree. Half the texters do not. One person saying, I have absolutely no bleep respect for the Ravens. Austin, you're out of line. I work in Baltimore, and there's a lot of hate there. Other people that are agreeing with me said, I agree with Limits. Respect the Ravens. Want blood versus the Browns and the Bengals. I couldn't agree more with Limits. Yes, there is a hated rivalry between us and the Ravens, but it's equally respected as much as it is hated. Chris in Kentucky said, I've always felt that way. I hate the Bengals, but I don't hate the Ravens. I respect them. Somebody else saying, I respect the Ravens organization, how they're run, but in the same vein, I despise them more than any other franchise in the NFL. That's kind of how I feel about it. I mean, that kind of sums it up better than I've been able to.
I guess that's a tough line to walk there for me. You know, did I respect Don Shula? No, I hated Don Shula in retrospect. After all these years, of course I respect him. And of course, Dan Marino, who's related to my friend Larry Richard. Of course I do.
And Cale Berger.
Not really him.
Not your friend?
No, like Cale, he's a great guy. But in at the time, when you're in it, I'm not thinking, oh man, I respect these guys so much. Just I'm overflowing with respect and admiration. No. No, I despise them. I want bad things, in a sporting sense, to happen to them all the time.
Do you think anybody ever goes on the field and says, man, I really just respect these guys. Like, oh, just credit to you.
I asked my nephew, Danny, nice man, my sister Bridget's son, born and raised in Baltimore, diehard Ravens fan. I just texted him because of this unexpected topic that City Limits has raised. Do you respect the Steelers or just hate them, asking for a friend? He said, I respect them, I guess, more so than Browns Bengals.
There you go.
Is that the way you feel?
That's
then?
Exactly how I
Is
feel.
Is that well stated?
Yes. I didn't state it well enough, which I should have. But
so in this case, enemies of enemies are friends. Have you ever heard that saying before?
Oh, yeah. I've experienced
so
that.
Ravens and Steelers fans can bond over hating and not even respecting the Browns and Bengals, and yet having a healthy hatred and respect for each other. That was very well phrased, I thought.
Entirely. And, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Cincinnati and Cleveland, you think of instances like Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph.
Well,
you think of
hold on.
AB's getting his head taken off.
Let's not pretend there haven't been things in Ravens Steelers that would make you purely hate them.
Oh, there have.
Like taking out a bounty on Hines Ward would be one thing, right?
And exactly, entirely. I agree. But I feel like some of the things
those Bengals were more hateable than anybody, though, in divisional history. I do agree with that. The Vontaze Burfict Bengals were the most hateable single team in history.
It was bad. Pac-Man Jones basically was going out there trying to destroy anybody that was on the Steelers' offense.
Burfict was spitting into Castro's face. Do you remember that?
Remember Joey Porter came off the field and ended up causing a 15-yard penalty in the Steelers to kick a game-winning field goal?
I also remember Joey Porter pushing over an injured Todd Heap in Baltimore one day, and then another day climbing onto the Ravens' team bus after the game.
Remember when he threw the Browns fan to the ground?
That was James Harrison.
That was James Harrison. Getting ahead of myself.
Myself. You're likable. You're a very likable man. I don't think anybody could deny that. And you've come up with a hell of a take here. 412-928-9370. If only I knew what the take was. It's that as Steelers fans, one of your own here, Wonder Twin, is claiming that with the Browns and Bengals, it's just pure, unadulterated hate. With the Ravens, it's respect combined with hate. And again, I reiterate, you know, a sports kind of hate. Nothing but animosity for the others. Animosity mixed with respect. But you kind of drop the respect this week, don't you? Especially
well, yeah.
If you're going to Heinz Field.
If you're going up against them, then it goes out the window.
Let's get a little sampling on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline here. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Limits has come out hot. What do you think?
Let's start with Colin in New Kensington.
What's up?
Not Colin, Joey from New Kensington.
Same thing.
I have a little bit of a different perspective because I've my family has had season tickets since 1970 when Three Rivers opened. So I was present when the Raiders Steelers was the greatest rivalry in football history, and the Ravens Steelers have taken over that greatest rivalry in football because it's been consistent every year for the past 20 years. So I disagree somewhat with what you're saying. The Ravens and Steelers hate each other. We dislike the Browns. We dislike the Bengals. The Ravens and Steelers are the greatest rivalry in football.
You know what? That's a hell of a take. And now I'm going to explore that question. Perhaps silently, as we're on the air with live radio. Is this the greatest rivalry of the 21st century? I think it is. I think that Patriots-Colts was great when it was Brady and Manning. What else? Like Bills-Dolphins, the AFC South doesn't even exist. Chiefs-Raiders, but the Raiders stink. where else are we going here? Eagles, Cowboys. The Cowboys haven't won, you know, advanced to an NFC title game since when? Mulsey had hair?
If you go by the amount of times that they play in prime time, you'd think the Giants and Cowboys always won 12 games every season and played against each other in the NFC championship game.
So Cowboys-Eagles is still a good rivalry, I'll give you that, but it ain't this. Vikings-Packers is historic. Bears-Packers is historic. I mean, the Bears are about to fire a coach named Matt Eberflus. How can you be in a rivalry with anybody, right? Although I'll still give them their props. Bears, it's legendary. Those two, Packers, Vikings, Packers, Bears. But it's not this. 49ers, Rams. 49ers, Seahawks had a great rivalry, but it was very brief. It was Harbaugh against Pete Carroll. I thought for a very brief time it was the best rivalry for 3 or 4 years there. But in terms of lasting power, that guy from New Kensington, my old stomping grounds. I used to work the graveyard shift at the Valley News dispatch limits, the old other 9-to-5 shift. I'd get in at 9, start putting together the next day's paper, and wouldn't get out till 5. And then with my friend Ron Ledgerd, I would go to the Denny's in New Ken for breakfast. And then I would hit rush hour morning traffic and get really angry on the way home from my shift. Did you know I did that?
No. When would you sleep?
When I got home, I'd sleep from like, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock until about 3, then have some activity, then go to dinner, you know, eat dinner anyway, and then go in back at 9. It was horrible. It's horrible. I didn't like it. Some people adjust to the graveyard shift. My body just rejected it like you wouldn't believe. I did it for about a year. Horrifying.
Mine would probably reject it too.
I think he's right. I think Steelers, Ravens, it's waned. It's ebbed and waned. Is that the right phrase?
Flowed.
It's ebbed and flowed, but it's the best rivalry in the NFL in the 21st century. It is, and it's back, and this is gigantic. There's some other really good games this week. Chiefs and Bills, you know, probably takes the national stage. I think Romo and Nance are in Buffalo and all of that, but man, I don't think it's a better game than Steelers-Ravens, and I think this right now, and for really the past 23 years, however long, whenever the millennium turned, this is it. I agree with the guy. Do you?
Ever since I was born. Yes, I mean, I do, because you've seen it in AFC championship games. You've seen it in playoff games. I mean, it seems like every time these two teams play, it's a one-possession game down to the wire. It's never a blowout. It's never one-sided. Even if a team is bad, like when some of the average Steelers teams have played the Ravens over the last few years, they've still had, I mean, there's what? They've won 6 out of their last 7 against Baltimore?
It feels like,
and they haven't been good?
Yeah, always on the line when they play. It feels that way anyway, that at least one of the two teams is really good. You know, I remember, even though things haven't turned out so well, the Kenny Pickett game in Baltimore 2 years ago was awesome and memorable. Remember that final drive with the touchdown pass to Najee to win the game?
With the gold end zones.
That was in Crinkulent.
Or that was Oakland. Yeah, on the road. That was a difficult catch by Najee, too.
And then you had other games tons of them. Everyone from Dennis Dixon. I remember a game where Ryan Mallett, the Ravens were horrible, and they beat the Steelers and basically cost the Steelers a playoff spot, except the fact that Sexy Rexy lost the next week at home to the Jets. Or did he beat the Jets? I can't remember. The Steelers needed an unlikely outcome from Bills Jets and got it and made the playoffs that year. It's fantastic. And now look at this week. We have Russell Wilson, rejuvenated Russell, against Lamar Jackson and everything else that goes into this rivalry. Derrick Henry has joined the rivalry. A little bit of George Pickens here, a little bit of T.J. Watt there, a little bit of Roquan Smith here, a little bit of Patrick Queen there. This is great stuff. He's right. It's the best rivalry.
I don't even know
if you're right, because I'm still trying to figure out your take. But I think Limits' take is you hate the Bengals and Browns and don't respect them, whereas at least there's a respect factor mixed in.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network.
Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Talking about the nature of this rivalry, and it's hot right now. It's never really not been hot. It's just never been what it was, but that's life. Oh, limitless wonder. Things change. It can't be that way. There was too many stars involved way back when, but it's still great. It's back in a big way this week, and there's still plenty of stars involved. Don't get me wrong. You know, you might have the best defensive player and the best offensive player in the world in this game. You could certainly make that argument, whether you agree with it or not. The best defensive player and the best offensive player. And I'm not talking about Derrick Henry, because he's still up there too. You have a rejuvenated Russell Wilson. You have the Steelers as a huge story right now in the league. We'll dive into, you know, later in the week, you know, kind of in what state do we find the Ravens right now? Feels like a high-powered offense and a lot of troubles on defense. Our guy Rob Long's going to talk about that. Sure, Patrick Queen's going to have some things to say this week, which I love. He's come on. We're going to have to ask Rob Long about Queen.
Oh, Patrick Queen has spoken this week about the Washington Commanders tight end, John Bates, that was very mad because him and Patrick Queen got into a tussle. So Patrick Queen tweeted, "Tried to dump me, so I dumped him. If he's still mad, I ain't hard to find."
I love that. I hope as Queen plays better that he pipes up more off the field, because he's very entertaining. One of the great meme, was it a meme, video, whatever you call it, of all time, was when somebody on the Ravens, one of his former teammates, said, "The grass isn't always greener," and Patrick Queen simply posted a video of himself with what appeared to be a glass of wine or beer watering his lawn, which is unbelievable. A silent video. It was incredible, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I actually asked him about that because we saw him at Celebrity Softball. And I was like, has the grass been greener on the other side so far? And he's been like, yeah, really, really enjoying it here.
I love that.
It was pretty funny.
We're going to ask Rob Long, because he was critical of Patrick Queen, and Patrick Queen clapped back at Long on Twitter or X. And for a while, it looked like Rob might be right here, but I'm wondering if Rob watched the Commander-Steelers game, because Patrick Queen, I thought, showed out in that game. I thought that was his best game so far. You?
He was their best defensive player on that day. I mean, I know T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith were still disruptive despite having zero tackles, but Queen played as advertised with that contract he was given.
Let's go to a couple calls, and then I'll tell people what Mike Williams posted, apparently, about Aaron Rodgers.
Here's Vincent in Columbus.
Hello, Vincent in Columbus. What's up?
Hey, yeah, there's definitely a lot of animosity in the rivalry. I think of when Troy Palmer slammed Ray Rice in 2011 when he beat him in the head. I think of even last year, there's a video of Minka and Patrick Queen going at it before the game, which is fun now that they're teammates. But I do think there is a lot of respect just because they play a very similar brand of football.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think, as I mentioned before, it's the same thing with the coaches. I think there's an enormous amount of respect there, and very similar records, I might add, Wonder Twin. Next.
Let's go to Max in Monongahela.
Hey, Max.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, to all the points you made, I think this is going to be a huge game, but I think that it's going to have big-time implications to our playoff chances and seeding. I feel like too many times in the years past we're, you know, waiting for other teams to beat someone else for us to sneak in. And, you know, that's not a recipe to get playoff wins. And I think this game here will, you know, help position us at the end of the season where we're not counting on someone else and potentially have a home playoff game.
For sure. Home playoff games, I think, make it obviously a huge difference. But at the same time, as I mentioned yesterday, I'd feel really good as a Steeler fan, no matter how these games go, like assuming they at least split here and win 10-11 games, in the knowledge that the Steelers can beat anybody. Like, I expect highly competitive games here, like the one we saw Sunday. like the one we saw between the Ravens and Bengals, where it's going to be a kick or a bounce. But the beauty of that is I feel like the same thing's going to happen in the playoffs, almost no matter who the Steelers play. And that's a good place to be, I think. Limits, there's something I forgot here that spices this one up. It's the Deontay Bowl as well.
Oh, yeah, Deontay, because he's really been a factor for the Ravens in two games.
Is he going to run backwards onto the field?
He might not even get onto the field.
You think he'll be a healthy scratch?
I think he'll play, but the amount of snaps that he gets is going to be limited.
I know, but that just adds a tiny little dash of spice. We have the Patrick Queen. We have the Deontay factor. We have Lamar and T.J. Watt and Roquan Smith and Derrick Henry and Russell Wilson and George Pickens, who, by the way, and I think this was the best play of Kenny Pickett's career. Kenny Pickett dropped a dime on George to beat the Ravens last year. You remember that one?
I was there.
You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
We were all high on Kenny the next day, weren't we?
We were waiting for the play, just waiting for one moment to get behind from Kenny. Well, even from Pickens at that point.
He gave us one.
And it was fool's gold.
It was a nice throw, I'll tell you that. At least he beat the Ravens twice. How many times did Kenny? What was Kenny's record against the Ravens? I know he beat him twice. Did he beat him a third time? Because the two times he beat them that I'm thinking of were quite memorable. In the meantime, Limits, there's a headline on the Post-Gazette. 4 ways to enjoy apple cider without drinking it. Do I dare click on that story? What do you do, inject apple cider? What are they talking about?
Remember
here?
When Pickett was hurt on like the third or fourth play of the game against Baltimore?
Yes, I do.
So he ended up going 2-1, I believe, but it's really 2-0. Okay. I mean, you can't factor into that decision.
On to the apple cider. Do you find that headline rather curious?
No.
4 ways to enjoy apple cider without drinking it?
I don't like apple cider.
Okay. Seems to be beside the point. Who's next?
Let's go to Joe in Robinson.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. Joe and Nuken, I got two points. Joe and Nuken, he took the wind right out of my sails for that point because I had this conversation with my buddies yesterday. It's the greatest rivalry of the century. There's no question about it in the NFL. I mean, it's not even close. Maybe Jerry Jones versus the Sun, but other than that, I don't really see anything that's like it.
Jerry Jones and the Sun. Did you see that story, Limits?
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb lost a
curtains.
Ball. He lost a ball in the Sun, and now they want curtains. Is taking the wind out of your sails the same as stealing your thunder, or a little bit different?
A little bit different. I'm not as crushed. Thunder is more crushing, whereas sails, I'm still feeling good. You
fair,
know?
Fair enough. Go ahead.
The second point, baseball, to answer your question about the greatest rivalry in Pittsburgh, baseball and hockey have really done themselves a disservice the last 10, 15 years with their scheduling. I don't care to see the Calgary Flames twice a year or the San Jose Sharks twice a year. I want to see the Flyers and Islanders 6 or 8 times a year like we used to back in the 2010s.
I'm with you.
Baseball, we used to see the Cardinals, what, 15 times a year? Now it's down to 8, 9? That's how rivalries get developed, and I mean, this is going more the Ravens-Steelers direction, but I wanted to answer that question.
Well, they really get developed, and I do agree with you on that point. They really get developed by the teams being good, and college football is the same way. With all the money chasing happening, it's been at the cost of rivalries in some cases. Next.
Let's go to Frank in Freedom.
Frank in Freedom. There's a little too much alliteration there. Is this Bob?
I vetted him. I think he's okay.
Frank, what's happening?
This is on the up and up. This is good.
All right.
Hey, Joe, you remember back 1970 when the AFL merged with the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
And Art Modell was a big wig. He was the owner of the Browns, but he was also a big wig in the NFL. And he said that he agreed to the merger as long as the Browns and the Steelers remained in the same division.
Yes.
So, actually, the Browns or the Steelers-Ravens rivalry is really the old Browns and the Steelers.
Well, that's a good point, too. He raises a good point because they kind of switched franchises there. Did you want to add to that? Is he gone?
He's gone.
I'm sad to hear that because it sounded like Frank and Freedom wanted to make another point. He's right. I mean, technically, it's still Steelers-Browns. Steelers-Ravens. Right, Limits?
I guess, but I mean, it's a completely different city. It's a different organization.
But it's still Steelers-Browns. You understand his point.
I do. I get it. I don't agree with it.
All right. You've become very disagreeable today. Very disagreeable, but I actually like that.
We were very agreeable yesterday.
And it's actually refreshing here. You came up with the first take of the day. I think it's a top five rivalry in the history of the NFL. And I'm going to do that off the top of my head right now. I've been watching football religiously since, you know, the, let's say, early to mid-1970s. My dad was a history professor at Damon College in Buffalo. He had a little study that had a bunch of books that I didn't care to read in it. But in that study was a yellow couch with a radiator next to it. Yes, we heated our homes with radiators. Do people still, Limits?
I think so.
Or is it more central heating that blows through?
Mostly, depending on if your house is old or not.
This was a radiator. So I would curl up with a blanket and sit there from 12:30, the pregame show, all the way till 7 o'clock or thereabouts watching football. That's all I would do.
Do you remember when Buddy the Elf was scared by the radiator in Elf? Remember that? He had to call his dad. He was scared of the radiator making sounds.
I love the radiator because you might have heard it got awfully cold in Buffalo. So you'd have wind blowing through the house, but I would cling to the radiator and simply watch football. So the greatest rivalries in NFL history in the Super Bowl era, since I've been watching in the 70s. You know, Raiders-Chiefs is up there, for sure. Packers-Bears is up there. Washington-Dallas is up there. Although Washington was so bad for so long that it sort of ruined the rivalry. And Dallas, too. What else comes to mind in the history of the league? Steelers-Raiders, even though they weren't in the same division, to me, was the rivalry of the 70s. Bills-Dolphins is a great rivalry. I'll put Steelers-Ravens, though, in the top five. I'll put it in the top five. I have a special place in my heart for Chiefs-Raiders for some reason for all these years. I really do.
Historians love Packers-Bears. They just love it.
Packers-Bears is incredible. And I used to love the Packers when I was a kid. I cried when they lost one day. They had a backfield of John Brockington and MacArthur Lane. I used to get very frustrated at the results of sporting events. And I don't know why, because no one else in my family cared. Why me?
You were a Vince Lombardi guy, Bart Starr.
No, he was gone by then, so was... I'm not that old. I didn't watch the 60s Packers, for God's sakes, Limits.
Seal here and a seal here in the alley.
That's Ron you're thinking of. He grew up following Red Grange and people like
George Halas.
Jim Thorpe.
Curly Lambeau. He watched Curly Lambeau before they named the field after him.
His favorite hockey player was one-eyed Frank McGee. I came along in the 70s, for God's sakes. But I'm putting Steelers-Ravens. I'm saying it's the best rivalry of the 21st century and one of the great rivalries of all time, because now it's reached the point where it's right at about a quarter century worth of years of this, where it's been at least good and often great and always memorable, no matter the cast of characters. And it's back in a big way this week, and I'm fired up. I'm excited for this game. Like I said, wherever you want to start, I'll start with they have the best offensive and defensive players in the world in this game, arguably. Would you agree with that? I think a lot of people would.
Yeah, I think I would. And, you know, the way that rivalries can just enhance our viewing experience, and a couple of texters have pointed out Steelers, Cowboys, 49ers, Cowboys. Like, it's good for sports. You can't have a good rivalry unless teams are good. Like, if it's just two teams, like, if let's say the Steelers and the, like, think about this. Do you consider Cincinnati and Cleveland to be a good rivalry right now other than anything geographically?
I never thought about that rivalry that much, It is the state of Ohio. Yes, you're right about that. Tell us about what Mike Williams said that could be interpreted as a little shot at Aaron Rodgers. Do you have that information?
Well, Mike Williams tweeted out a picture, and our guy Andrew Filippone also put it out there on Twitter, where it was him celebrating the touchdown in the end zone with a caption, "Thankful with a couple different hashtags. Hashtag whole lotta, hashtag we back, hashtag red line. And you know what the red line means.
Yeah, that was Rodgers saying he threw the ball on that imaginary red line in whatever game that was, and old Mike Williams veered from the red line, so it was his fault that the ball got picked off.
Red line, goal line, touchdown Mike Williams, never happened in New York with Aaron.
So he put the words red line. Did he also put a little symbol, like a green symbol, that indicates he was taking a shot at the Jets? I think he did.
Oh, he put a little snake in the post.
I think a green snake or something. Green.
Well, yes, that's the color of the snake.
Oh, my also, God. Is he referring to Rodgers as a snake there? I don't know about that. Or is that a different kind of symbol? I don't know. But it seems clear somewhere in there he's taking a shot at his former team. And, man, is it enjoyable to watch the demise of the New York Jets and how Russell Wilson is better than Aaron Rodgers. What are their salaries this season? Limits? How much are the Steelers paying Russell Wilson? $1
million? $1.2 million.
And how much are the Jets paying Aaron Rodgers? Could you look up his cap hit right now?
A lot of money.
What a joy it is to watch this happen.
3 years, $112 million is his deal.
I love that.
Which means that he is signed for next season as well. His base salary is only $3 million. How they were able to mess around with that cap number. $17 million is his cap hit.
Yeah.
$66 million is his dead cap hit.
Oh, man. I just love watching this. And the game last night, any thoughts on that ball game? I think what was true holds true, that Miami with Tua is a team to contend with. They're a pretty good team. I'm not the hugest Tua fan, but he's a good quarterback. I think that's sort of undeniable. And that with him running the show, they can beat people. You know, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but they can beat. They're a good team. Slightly above average with Tua. Did you see him make that tackle? Oh, my God. Did you see the highlight of that?
That was a battle of fool's gold in the game for me. Fool's gold between the Rams and Miami. The team that everybody thinks can compete and be pretty good in the AFC, and the team that everybody thinks can compete and be pretty good in the NFC going at up against each other. Because, I mean, with Matthew Stafford, they've won a couple good games against...
That's two times in a row that you've completely ignored the topic that I was on. Limits.
No, I did not see Tua's tackle.
Okay, all you have to do is say that. Then I'll throw it back for a take on the game. The tackle was almost the story of the game. Look it up while we're doing this. Go to X and type in Tua tackle. It was insane. It was an interception return. And not only did he try to tackle the guy, like got right in the mix on the sideline, he stuck his head in there.
He went head first.
What is he doing?
Yeah, that's not smart.
I mean, in a way, I guess if you're a teammate, you respect it, but you also say, just what I was saying, man, we're good with you. So don't do that. It's only an interception return. Run off the field. That's crazy.
And there were three Dolphins teammates around him too that could have made the tackle.
Right. Like, what is he? I guess just the competitive instincts take over there, don't they?
I guess. I mean, he was the guy that had the best line of direction to the defender with the ball, but still. I mean, maybe your football instincts just take in at that point. You know, after you throw an interception, you want to try to slow up the guy and not reach the end zone. So I understand it from that perspective from Tua, but sometimes you have to just get out of the way and not hurt yourself.
Absolutely crazy. But back to the four ways to enjoy apple cider without drinking it. Putting aside your distaste for apple cider, you don't consider that an odd headline? How else do you enjoy apple cider other than drinking?
Is it a New York Post headline?
No, it's a Post-Gazette headline. Like I said, do you inject it, apple cider? What are we talking about here?
I think that would be one.
I guess you could put it in different recipes like muffins or maybe sauces, something like that. It's just the headline really took me off guard there because I always thought of, here's apple cider beef stew. Does that entice you?
No. So what are the reasons? What are the ways to eat it?
I just told you.
Apple cider beef stew.
You put it in muffins. You put it in sauces, like the apple cider beef stew. You pour a little cider in there for a little jolt, I guess. I once drank jolt with rum and wound up in an emergency room. Did I ever tell you that story?
You have a lot of experiences in emergency rooms.
Jolt was high-powered Coca-Cola. It was, you know, like these energy drinks you see today. And I mixed that. I bought that. I don't think for some reason the place I was at, maybe there was no Coke available. So I bought Jolt instead and drank that with my rum. And I wasn't just a one drink kind of guy at that point. And it ended poorly. I can tell you that. Too much jolt.
They didn't put a jolt in your step. It ended jolt.
They should have.
It jolted you backwards.
I should have drank apple cider. How about cider glazed root vegetables with apple and tarragon? I can see you eating that, can't you?
No.
And then finally, the glazed apple cider cake. So, yeah, okay. So she's saying that the ways to ingest apple cider without drinking it are varied. And for some, quite exciting.
Why? I mean, why? Who cares? I mean, I don't know. Is it this big of a deal? Are we trying to do pumpkin pie next? The next way to eat pumpkin flavors or peppermint?
It's right under the Deontay Johnson headline that he has yet to make an impact in Baltimore. Why don't we talk about some of the storylines to this game? Plus, Limits, you read for me about 9 clips you had today. What was the best one, in your humble opinion, that you'd like to play next? Because all of them reached out and spoke to me in one way or another.
Oh, there's a lot of good ones, like Big Ben and Spence reacting to the Commanders jumping off sides.
That is what I wanted to hear when we were talking on the phone today. All right, it's 11:01. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with the premiums at 724-443-5610. 724-443-5610. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating. All right, I'm coming clean here. I quit caffeine yesterday, and I'm struggling.
You quit?
Yeah, I can't read things. I can't see clearly right now. I have a headache that it feels like somebody split my head with an axe.
What, are you in withdrawal?
Yes, I'm in withdrawal. It's a drug. Didn't anybody tell you? I'm also highly irritable, obviously. And I apologize for snapping on you like that. Just so you know, moving ahead.
Completely okay.
The baseball card castle in Cranberry is where we get Starkey's Card of the Week. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. You know what they say about quitting addictions like this, Malzy, Bulzy, Limits, whatever your name is. I can quit anytime I want. Staying quit is the problem. Have you ever tried to quit something that you're addicted to? I think wiffle ball might be the closest for you. Right?
Yeah, you know what ends up happening? I lose in the championship, and I had to take like 4 months off because I'm mad.
I know.
Yeah.
I know you are.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.